AG1.
What's up? I'm here to talk to you about AG1 Athletic Greens again. You know, it's important to me that the supplements I take are high quality, and that's why I've been taking AG1 for, what is it now, 4 years, 3.5 years or something like that? The thing I like about it is it's researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their fields. So you know it ain't BS, it's AG. They are the real deal. I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't a buzzword. They really push hard. Expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, rigorous testing. They got it all. At each step of the process, AG1 is going above and beyond. Now, what I like about them, first of all, you can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's an NSF certified for sport, which is like a rigorous, independent quality. They've tested for over 950 contaminants, banned substances. The industry standard apparently is only testing for 10. Dude, it's 95 times as rigorous. And it's not complicated. It's so simple. It's just replacing health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, in just one simple scoop. It takes 60 seconds. You don't have to swallow a bunch of pills on an empty stomach. Boom. And as I always say, you get a little bit of water in there too. Get that day started. So with the water, and then for me, the prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support is probably the most important ingredient. I eat a pretty varied diet, so I get my nutrition from a lot of places, but I got to eat more fermented foods. But AG1 lets me have this prebiotics and probiotics first thing in the morning. Take care of my digestive enzymes, which if you're a listener of the podcast, you know I need help with. All right. Look, I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make a high-quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. I chug down an AG1 maybe within 10 minutes of getting out of bed. It's the way I start my day every day, even on the road. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/mighty. That's DRINKAG, the number one, .com/MIGHTY. drinkag1.com/mighty.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy, the number one fuck boy, the number one fuck boy. Why do I still do this, fuck boy? Oi, 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 oi. Johnny G, joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, you're about to get picked up by the dog walker because Papa's going on vacation. How do you feel about that? Absolutely no reaction. Maybe just sniffed at how gross my breath made the microphone smell. Hey, get away from our guest, dude. Okay, and speaking of our guest dude right now is comedian Firebrand. I met her working in New York on something, and she's made me laugh 100 times since then. It's Blair Saki.
What up, what up, what up to all my fans and followers?
What's up, baby? What's up, baby? Blair, thank you so much for coming to the High and Mighty Studios, a.k.a. a room in my apartment.
I am thrilled.
I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you.
This is a rough one for you, as you are allergic to dogs, and my house is covered in dog hair, and my dog is into you.
Look, I just want to say to the listeners, I may have this one thing, but I have a lot of other good qualities, and...
Please don't judge me.
Please overlook that. I think it's because I wasn't breastfed, but my mom, I don't want to shade my mom either.
Thank you. Yeah. We will not be shading our moms here. I was breastfed until I was 15. So I'm great with dogs.
That's good. That means I think you're good at connecting with people.
I'm very good at connecting at heavy set older Italian women. If she's stirring a pot of sauce, I could connect.
Yeah, for sure. You're going to settle right up next to her.
So I was saying off mic, and I said, hey, this is top quality content. Let's save it for on mic.
Sure.
I have been saying your name as Sochi. Do you, like, I always say this. Like, I often realize the first time I'm even saying someone's last name mm-hmm. is when they're around.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
There's so many. You're like, why would I say it out loud?
Right, exactly. Yeah. I, like, my friend Kulop, I just tried to say her last name for the first time the other day, and I was like, when your first name's Kulop, you never have to say
which
sure. Kulop.
Kulop is like the star of the show in the first and last name.
Right, yeah, it doesn't
scenario.
Matter.
Yeah. No, it is weird because, like, it's hard for me to imagine, but, you know, our people, our descendants, apparently there was a racism for Italians. And I, you know.
Oh, man, the good old days.
I know, sure. I don't know if it's fake or real, but there's mythological lore. And my grandpa tried to, he tried to
anglicize it a little
bit. Yeah, he tried to make it sound less Italian by making it sound Japanese. So yeah, now it's sake, like the rice wine.
That's so, oh man. And it's, you know what really bums me out is when the older generation, because I have older Italian relatives who like talk about racism, like, well, we dealt with it.
Yeah,
and it's
hilarious.
Like, that doesn't mean we should keep doing it.
Yeah. I mean, in all fairness, it really wasn't out of nothing. My great grandpa got his throat slashed by the mafia.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Because he stowed away when he was 8. Like, he was orphaned and he came over, and then he like started this like successful fruit stand business in the Bronx, and then he wouldn't pay the tithe for protection, and then yeah, but he lived. But then they forced him, they called it the Black Hand, they forced him in exile, his whole family, back to Italy.
Holy
for
shit.
2 years. But then they got to come back, and he like rebuilt it and was fine. So I don't really know,
but his throat was slit at one point.
Yeah.
Holy
yeah, like
shit.
That like this, you know?
Oh yeah,
what's that called?
Like Colombian necktie.
I don't
yeah,
know what
yeah.
it is. It's
what,
fucked
what
up.
She's doing is demonstrating an ear-to-ear throat
yeah,
slit.
Yeah,
yes.
That's what it is. And it's so funny because, like, I look...
And it's so funny because...
Yeah, that's hilarious!
What a transition.
Yeah.
So my grandfather was slit ear-to-ear, and it's so funny.
Oh my God, it sounds psychotic. I was just spent, like...
No, I know.
This sounds like a big legend because I look, like, very not
so
Italian.
Cow. Yes. You have, your blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah.
So right, I say as I'm looking at you. Correct.
I think so.
I'm pretty sure. There's no mirrors. There's a reason there's no mirrors in High and Mighty. I don't want to see myself. This is like I'm sitting Shiva all day long.
Oh, I'm with you. I like it'll be a few days. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. My wife will be like, when did you have eggs? I was like, not today. She's like, you have some in your beard. I'm like, well, think it's time to jump in the shower. God, I need a job.
Oh dear.
But Blair, what I wanted to talk. Oh, also funny you say. I should say. I remember when I was a kid. My last name is pronounced Gabrus, but it's pronounced G. It's spelled Gabrus. And one time when I said to my dad as a kid, I'm like, "How come our name isn't Gabrus? Because it's like there's no Y or E. It makes sense that it would be Gabrus." And he was like, "I don't know."
Yeah.
Maybe, he goes, "Maybe it is."
Yeah. And I go, yeah.
What the fuck kind of help is that? I'm fucking 10 years old. It's 1992, and my last name has the word gay in it. I'm being like absolutely bullied by like teachers and shit. And I'm like, and it could just maybe be Gabrus.
Wait, a teacher?
Oh yeah. Listeners of this podcast love this story. My junior high football coach and teacher called me gay boy. In class, he was like my social studies teacher. I'd raise my hand and be like, "Yes, gay boy." And I'd be like, "Upton Sinclair's The Jungle." And he's like, "Great work, gay boy."
Oh my God.
In high school, my gym teacher called me garbage. And my the dean of the dean of discipline, whatever he was, like the a dick, more or less, a professional
they always
asshole.
Are.
Yeah.
Who wants to be a dean of discipline of kids? Oh, you're sick.
To me, I'm like, being a teacher is the most beautiful, amazing thing you could do. Choosing to become like a vice principal or a principal is like, wait a minute, what are you doing this for again? It's like, to me, being a principal is like being a cop. I'm like, didn't you hate them so much when you were 15? Why would you choose to do that now?
Oh, I was just going to say it's like the prison guards
in
high school.
Yes.
Like you're just like trying to, enforce. You're not trying to like propagate anything nice.
Even like an asshole teacher, you'll hear like 1 in 10 students be like, well, she actually helped me like fall in love with reading. But it's like, my dean of discipline taught me that detention is a great place to get fucking cigarettes. Like, what kind of hell can you learn?
Oh my God. Where'd you go to high school?
Out on Long Island. Sure. So it makes a little more sense now.
Yeah.
We're just breeding bullies out there. Like a lot of the people, like the biggest, the coolest job you can have is like a cop. They always say Suffolk County, which is a county on Long Island, Suffolk County cops make more money in NYPD. It's the highest paid police precinct in the world. And everyone's like, that's like a brag. It's like being a Suffolk County cop is like the highest honor you can have on Long Island. I'm like,
holy shit.
I'm like, all right, guys.
I feel like you could play a really good cop on TV.
Dude, dream role. Dream role.
You'd be so funny as a cop.
I have the cop body. I have like the one type of cop body, not the meathead cop, but like the desk cop. I can't really do much else besides this job body. Yeah.
Hilarious.
But growing up on Long Island, one of the things I got into as a youth, this is what a host calls a segue, was surfing.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that I wanted to have you on. First of all, because you were the first person that I'm friends with on social media that to repost a Kook Slam.
Oh.
That's another an Instagram that I follow. Shout out
you
to Kook Slam.
Follow?
Yeah. So when I saw you repost it, I was like, oh shit. And then I like was creeping your page and I saw, I guess, was your dad a surfer? Your dad's a surfer?
I mean, my whole family surfs. It's so annoying.
It's so annoying.
Yeah.
Do you also?
No.
Or do you reject it because of like?
So I used to be in contests when I was young. But I quit pretty early on because it was just like, and that was the time, like the 90s or whatever, and like I had two older brothers and I'm the youngest, and they're so into skateboarding and snowboarding and stuff, so I like just wanted to copy everything they did and then get them to like me. So I would just do skateboarding and snowboarding and surfing and all this stuff. But I'm like,
and this is in, so yeah, you were from Orange County.
Yeah, like I'm from Orange County. Yeah. San Clemente, you know, where it's at.
Hey, look, if there's anyone I feel a kinship to being from Long Island, it's the OC, where you're like a half hour away from one of the greatest cities in the world, but I completely disagree with everything that city stands for.
Oh my God, it's so bizarre.
It's so oddly, I guess if people don't know, Orange County is like surprisingly, despite it being SoCal laid back lifestyle, it's wildly conservative.
Oh no, it is. It's so conservative. It's a really bizarre place, and much like Long Island.
Long Island's very similar in that it's like a half hour from the city and nothing like New York City.
Well, I live in the from the most like southern part, so it's honestly probably like an hour and 45 minutes. But
oh, okay. Yeah.
Like, it is so conservative, like beyond, like everyone's really Christian too. It's like, and there's all these people with fucking bolt-ons and like facelifts and shit. Like,
what's bolt-ons?
Like fake racks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bolt-ons?
Yeah.
That's a great, I never heard that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's like tits are being bolted onto their chest.
Yes. It's just wild, like, because it's so vain also, which is another thing I really hated about it. But then also there's like good things about it. Obviously it's beautiful. There's like some really nice, like family oriented people there.
Right.
And
yeah.
Stuff.
It's a wonderful environment, like a wonderful climate. It's like, it's gorgeous all the time. Yeah.
But also it's just extremely culturally barren at the same time. It's like, no, I remember like my boyfriend now, like when I met him, it was like I'm not exaggerating, he was like the first dude I'd met that had like read, that was like into reading and like.
But did he still have like mid-calf black socks and like and a flat-brimmed Hurley hat and like big-ass sunnies?
I mean, that's like exactly still how I dress, like legitimately. So.
Oh, I mean, I still dress like either a gay party animal or like a 90s surf shop boy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the only wardrobe I have.
Yeah, but so then I got really like into surfing, but what happened was, the brackets of age groups for contests, they went up. It was like 11 to 13. And then the next bracket was 14 to 17. So it was basically like freshman to senior in high school. And I was like, I'm not doing this shit. And I also was like not a good swimmer. And so
you were a competitive surfer, but not a good swimmer.
I mean, competitive surfer, what does that even mean?
When you entered in competition.
When you quit, you retire at 13.
Right, to be fair.
You know what I mean? That's not like actually anything. But
I think with our age difference, I may have actually surfed more recently than you.
Yeah, no, I mean.
But you still go out every once in a while.
I do when the conditions are perfect and I am bullied by every member in my family.
Like if your whole family is like, dude, there's a swell coming in. They're like, we're paddling out Christmas morning. You're like, I guess I'll go with you guys.
I mean, a lot of times I'm just like, no, don't even try it. Don't even get near me. Get out of my fucking face. But like last Sunday at Father's Day, my brothers and my dad all went out. And my dad's like, you want me to get the board out for you? I'll get the board out for you. And then my brother comes up to me. He's like, the water's 72 degrees. Like, when is the next time? And then my other brother comes up to me. He's like, you'll feel better if you go in, if you just paddle. And I was like, what? I am 31 years old. You stop it. You know,
there is that weird cult of surfing, though, where it's like, it is sort of a interesting experience to paddle out there and be out there. You don't even have to catch a wave for it to be like a beautiful thing. And then, but like the people who do it are into it more than CrossFitters are into CrossFit. You know what I mean? Like they're obsessed with it. They talk. I mean, any subculture, any activity that ends up having an entire wardrobe or like or style or fashion
that's
sense.
Hilarious.
Because it's like, I want everyone else to know I'm a surfer even when I'm not surfing. It's just like that vibe of like, that's how much it means to a lot of people. And I like met a group of those dudes on Long Island, guys from my high school who had all been surfing or had dads that used to surf or older brothers that used to surf. And I met them because I was on the swim team and a beach lifeguard. So you got involved with a lot of people who grew up around.
For sure. It's all the same.
It's all the same. And I grew up like going to the beach every day and boogie boarding, but surfing wasn't like big at the Jones beaches I went to. And then when I got into high school and my friends were like, oh, you got to surf. I'm like, I don't think I can. I was way less fat then, but still very fat for a high school kid. They were like, one kid was like, my dad has a 10'6" Robert August. If you can't, like, it's a boat.
Yeah.
And I went out on it for the first time and I was like, oh my God, I can surf. It just needs to be a kayak that people call a surfboard. Like whatever OC housewife is using as a stand up paddle board.
Yeah.
That's like the only thing I can surf
on.
Exactly. And then when I got to the beach, we had like those like 9-foot BZ foam top ones that are like for kids, but really it's a rescue board, but you can catch like little, like if it's not a short break, you can like really fuck around on it. And then I got like into that surfing out in the flats on like after my shift or on break and stuff like that.
I mean, it's so nice. Like that's the best feeling in the world. I used to go because we were pretty close to San Onofre, so we'd go. And my best friend in junior high, her dad had a VW surf bus, and we'd pile all our boards on. And he like got us really into like all the culture. And we'd go barbecue after we were done surfing all day, and we did all the contests together. And like I was always, because I'd been snowboarding since I was like 4. Like, I could really, when I was on the board and stuff, like, was great. But it was just, like, I get so scared in big waves. And I was like, I'm not fucking doing this. And also, I wish I was, like, a shortboarder because I feel like if you do shortboard, you can navigate the big waves.
Right.
I would be, like, so hindered about the board, you know?
Right. Well, when you're on, like, a long-ass
board
and if it starts to lean
forward. A big wave.
Oh, fuck that.
When you're paddling into it and it's going to break on your head.
Oh, that's the most horrifying part of getting involved in ocean sports is, like, I got to get out there first.
I was watching my brothers, which, by the way, it was, like, so choppy and windy. Like, it looked miserable. And they both went out 3 times over the course of, like, a 10-hour day. And, like, I was like, what are you doing? That doesn't look fun at all. And then my other brother, like, they do the paddleboard in the waves where it's like, so if you're trying to get out, you're trying to manage a board and not losing the paddle in your hand.
It's fucking difficult.
Yeah,
as
it was
all
crazy.
That's wild.
It looked crazy. I was like, I don't envy that at all.
And do you still snowboard?
Every once in a while. Again, it's a very social thing for me. I'm like don't like extreme conditions in any way.
Right.
So like whenever, if I love it, like on a great like sunny day, it's fun for me, but I would never like go out in a snowstorm. I would be like, how is this fun?
You're not dying to gnar up some fresh
pow
pow.
No, like I'm battling the element. Like why? I don't want to battle. I want to surrender.
Right. It's almost like, because if you don't do it like seasonally for 10 years unbroken, like a lot of these people do, when you're like just kind of casual, you're like, it needs to be so like zero impediments for me to get involved in this. Like, right? Like you're like, oh, I kind of like snowboarding. And people are like, dude, it's crazy out. You're like, nope, that's not what I mean when I say I kind of like snowboarding. You're like, dude, are you kidding? It's fucking wild out there. You're like, no. I want to go out there when it's like, yeah, this is fun. Like that's what I can handle.
Yeah. Also snowboarding, surfing, anything, beach volleyball, whatever the fuck. Like with my brother, when we'd go, we'd have party so hard the night before, then they still want to wake up early, and like when they're going, they're like, they want to get as many runs in as possible, and I'm like, no,
I need a Gatorade and like a toilet.
Yeah, and they're like trying to like lace up my boots and like, come on, you pussy, like what are you gonna wuss out today? And I'm like, yes please.
The idea of a boy calling his female sister a pussy is very funny.
Oh my God, my entire life.
You pussy. Thank you?
Yeah, I'm like, guess what? I am a pussy, motherfucker. I like to read indoors.
Guess what? I am a pussy, motherfucker is a great title for a memoir. If you don't have a memoir title on deck, I'd say, okay, guess what, you. Motherfucker? I am a
pussy. Yeah.
It's really, I picture you on the cover, like, shrugging.
Yeah, it's so funny, your whole life, like, because my whole life, like, I just probably only came to that, like, right now. My whole life, I'd be like, no, I'm not.
The worst thing you could be is a pussy.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I know, I always found that funny, like, guys, like, would call other guys pussies derogatory, but then also talk about pussy nonstop outside of, you know what I mean? Like, pussy was both the greatest thing you could get, but the worst thing you could be.
Yeah.
It's like, how does that work out?
I know. Well, I don't even think people connect it. I mean, like.
Yeah, obviously, they're not like actually calling you a vagina.
Well,
there's,
I think of how we used to say the F-A-G word.
Yeah.
In the 90s.
Yeah.
And it was like, I never felt like in no part, I had a gay front, like no
yeah,
part
I never
of me,
called a gay person
no
that.
No part
yeah.
of me felt homophobic. It was just in the vernacular, which is horrible. But in my, just like the same thing as pussy, like it, I didn't even connect them in my head.
Yeah. My grandpa used racist terms all the time that I didn't know were racist terms.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until like years later where you're like, you're not supposed to say
right,
that.
Right, right,
like, oh,
exactly.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
I was trying to make a joke work one time and it just never lands, where I was saying like, look, I understand, I was called a fag in high school a bunch. And I'm like, and people are like, and I'm like, yeah, that doesn't work. Like, I can't like latch on to that cultural appropriation.
I know.
But I would like daily.
Isn't that funny in stand-up? Like where something is true for you, but as an person in the audience that has never met you, they're going off of what they see you as,
right? Yeah.
So that it won't resonate with them. Like, I have so many like jokes about like weight and stuff, and like some of it was just like, you can't do those jokes, like they don't make sense. And I'm like, you don't know, it's very like
this
true
is what I'm
for
dealing
me
with,
or
yeah.
like my thoughts, you know.
Right. And then there's just like so many topics that are like weirdly controversial or get like snags on
yeah.
them, and you're like, oh, I didn't even realize that was a problematic thing to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listeners of my podcast are not surprised when I say I'm accidentally problematic.
Yeah.
I think they know.
Well, I'm also not one of those comics that like is like, I'm gonna fucking say what I want and you guys are gonna deal with it. Free speech is threatened. And I'm like, I don't want to offend anyone. Like, that's not fun for me. I'm trying to be silly and have yeah. fun. Like, I'm not trying to be a fucking truth teller.
Oh, I'm like completely open to someone saying like, that's actually offensive. And I, like, as long as it's not like, hey, what you said was unbeknownst to you offensive, you are kicked out of the business. If it's short of that, if it's just like, hey, man, you're not supposed to say stuff like that. So just so you know, that offends. Oh, okay. Hey, good to know. I'll knock it out, you know?
Yeah, me too. Especially.
I'm not trying to offend. I'm the same way. I'm like, just disgusting and talk too fast.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Like, I don't want, like, I've got to know because I'm not. That's not my intention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like those comics, and I was gonna say those dudes, but it is often male comics who have that like freedom of speech bent. They always end up having like a Patreon that is exclusively like alt-right listeners. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's the easy slip. Anyone I've seen like 4 years ago, like touting free speech and like saying like you should be able to say whatever you are. If you map to where they are now, they're in some sketchy ass situations.
Oh my God. Yeah, there's like some shit and it's more New York than here.
Yeah.
I think. But I don't know. Maybe I just haven't been here long enough. But there's like, well, one of my like best friends, Stavros, is on Cumtown.
Right.
And I've never listened to Cumtown in my life because I know this person who is the sweetest
right
person I've like ever met, and just so like, and I know, and even Nick Mullen, when I like run into him and stuff, is so nice, and I don't even know what they say, but like I've heard that the fucking podcast, there's wild shit said on there.
Of course, I'm sure. Yeah it's so weird. And then I feel like there's like that inevitability too, where they go so far where it's like the only people that they're hearing from are sort of like not necessarily, I don't know anything about Cumtown. I'm thinking more of like, to use other specifics, like Owen Benjamin and like the dude who used to work on Vice, whose name
Gavin McGinnis.
Those dudes who are like, they start off being like, I'm kind of edgy, and then they start being like, people are like, hey, what you're doing is not edgy, it's actually offensive, and then they take that as, fuck you, watch how offensive I can be. I'm not being offensive, I'm telling the truth, I'm freedom of speech. And then next thing you know, it's like, okay, we're holding a rally.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, come on, guys.
Yeah, why is a comedian holding a rally, you fucking psycho? They tried to get me to go on that show, that Gavin McGinnis show, and I know why. Because they're like, oh, this would be like a sacrificial lamb, you know?
Right.
And I just wrote back, oh, no, I am not a debate type person. I'm like a soft. I'm not like a good match.
Yeah.
And that's, they just kept, they're like, no, come on. You'll be. And I'm like, no.
Oh, no. Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah, well, this was like 3 years ago.
Okay, before he was like,
it was
black, completely openly, everyone realized how much.
Yeah,
was,
but it was literally 1 second. It was in the midst of like ascending to the peak. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Ugh.
But it was like 3 years ago, and it was just like, yeah, when he's like, no, Cosby's innocent, and his little like people in New York, like his henchmen, like weirdo comedian friends.
Yeah. Well, they're like all ex comedians, I feel like. Right?
I mean,
I also feel like now us talking about this is gonna have like
us getting in trouble.
We're gonna get some
let's
fucking
move on.
Let's get some free. We're gonna get freaks in the mentions. It's disgusting how frequently I forget to brush my teeth. I hated it as a kid, and now as an adult, I'm trying, I'm learning. And one of the things that's helped me is getting cool toothbrushes, like Quip, man. It's an electric toothbrush that isn't big, isn't expensive. It's super easy to use. It has a built-in timer. It's got a subscription plan. So they just send you new brush heads as you need it and new toothpaste. So that's just like one thing off the list of stuff you have to buy. Not to mention, they look cool as hell. Completely waterproof. At least I believe so. That's not in the copy because I keep mine in the shower because I like to brush my teeth in the shower, because then you can go, rah, mad dog, like Pee Wee Herman, and spit foam and stuff everywhere like that. Guys, I'm enjoying the Quip brush. It looks cool. I got one as a travel brush. I got one in my shower. I want as many Quip toothbrushes as I can carry. Please give them all to me. Well, why don't you guys get them yourself? So here's how it works. Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/mighty right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/mighty. Spelled GETQUIP.com/mighty. Brush dem teeths.
Mighty.
Let's get back to surfing.
Yeah, please don't at me. I'm a former surfer, and that's what we were talking about.
Yes. I'm a former surfer. Hopefully, soon to be a surfer again.
Oh,
something
yeah.
I've been like wanting to do for a long time is get back into it. And I'm like, I think, and if I'm being completely honest, as someone who is completely extroverted and never really cares what people think, I'm afraid to like show up, because there's like that weird unspoken political locals only kind of like mentality to surfing and stuff, where I'm like, I don't want to show up and annoy other people who are enjoying surfing.
I totally understand that. It's like showing up at an open mic, like as a new comic.
Yeah.
You're so scared. You're like, am I annoying these people by being in their space? And but like, I think that you, if I saw you out in the water, I'd be like, hello, like a jolly, well, this jolly man's enjoying his day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I totally understand that.
Because it's, also the difference is like, it's not like at an open mic, there's, okay, here comes a microphone, and then four people try to go and talk on it at the same time. Because there's that weird, like, stay off. I don't want to fuck up someone else's sesh is, like, my big
well,
fear.
Well, that's, like, polite. This is, again, this was many years ago when I was actively. But I remember, especially if you go on a weekend, like, I would go, there's, like, some, you know, popular longboarding beaches down there, and, like, I would go down. My mom would take me to Doheny, like, after or before volleyball practice, and if it was on a Saturday or Sunday, all the dads would, and I remember being 11 and 12 fully paddling for a wave, and some like 45 year old dude would just like drop in on me, like didn't give a fuck.
Oh.
Like it would happen all the time.
These are dads who are like pushing a 12 year old girl.
Yeah.
The way it's like, don't you probably have a 12 year old girl?
Yeah. Like, or like not even a dad, maybe
yeah,
they were like old dudes that never had kids and were like, I'm getting my time in and I don't give a fuck if there's like these young kids here. But yeah, it was, I just remember that happening all the time and it would be so funny to me.
Yeah, that's fucking wild. Yeah, there is like that weird thing where you like, you hear about like dudes getting punched in the face or leashes getting cut and stuff. I mean, that's all Point Break stuff, but like also.
I love Point Break.
Oh yeah. I mean, surfing movies have kept surfing alive for me forever. Like, My first AIM screen name was Surfrat 69.
Yes.
And my second one was Enforcer from the dude from Big Wednesday, the big bodybuilder from Big Wednesday, who I thought I imagined myself as, but really I was just a head taller and 100 pounds heavier than all the guys I surfed with.
Yeah.
So they were like, Enforcer. And I'm like, well, yeah, kind of. I'm just the dude who's like rash guard, never goes below his belly button.
If you're like a happy, like, you know, like you, you're like, I don't want to upset anyone. For me, like when that would happen to me, like I wouldn't even get mad. I'd just be like scared. I'm like, am I not supposed to be here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Am I like, should I go somewhere yeah. else?
Is it hacky to take surfing lessons?
No, not at all.
I probably should do that.
So my boyfriend's best friend who he does, have you seen Chad Goes Deep, those guys?
Yeah, wait, why do I know that?
Okay, because they have like a pretty big following now, but they like do the city council meetings and like all those, like they do a bunch of videos and stuff. But anyways, my boyfriend's best friend and his partner in it, teaches surf lessons too. Less now because they're so busy, but like he teaches like Moshe Kasher and like Andrew Michon and stuff
oh,
like that.
Oh, awesome. Wait, yeah, wait. Then I think
Tom Allen.
I think I just saw them go on a surf trip, those people.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With my buddy Kurt Bronoller.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know if he teaches Kurt, but like.
I don't think Kurt needs lessons. I think he's been yeah. surfing for like 20 years.
Well, he would totally teach you.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'll tell him. I don't know. But it's like he takes them, and that's like how he would, before like comedy and stuff, like how he was like making all his money.
Oh, sick. Well, yeah, I would gladly give him more money.
Yeah, and he teaches all the comics. It's so crazy. All those sober dudes, they go like 4 times a week, like Andrew and Moshe.
Right, because like you have got to replace something.
I guess, yeah, because, yeah. Well, I was like, I can't believe you, because like most of them won't live on the east side, like where I live. So it's an hour or more to get to the beach. You know what I mean?
That's like a weird thing about Los Angeles. Let's crack into that a little bit. There is this weird barrier about going to the beach. If you didn't grow up going to the beach, it feels like, I know people who live here, who live in Los Feliz, who are like, I've gone to the beach once since moving here 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That seems insane to me.
Yeah. If my family didn't live like right by the beach, like, I've never gone in L.A. Like, I only go in Orange County. It's funny.
See, that's so weird. Because for me, I grew up by the beach on Long Island and went all the time. And now I find myself, I don't live too far from the beach. I'm in West Hollywood. But I still go once a week. I go, like, five or six times a month.
Wow, that's a shitload. Do you go by yourself? Or are you with your family?
I've gone by myself a few times. I go with my wife on some weekends when we're both available. But I go, I have a couple of guy friends, a couple of dude friends that are, you know, mildly employed like myself. And it's like on a Tuesday, it's like, tomorrow looks like it's dope. I literally have nothing going on. Hey, mm-hmm. Me neither. Let's pick me up at 10. Let's go out to the beach for the day.
You go to Manhattan Beach?
No, I go to Will Rogers, like sort of north of Santa Monica. Yeah. Although, because Manhattan Beach is dope as fuck, too. I went there and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well,
I wish I could like live there.
I know. Well, I played volleyball and then I went to UCLA and played there.
Oh, shit. Did you know my wife, granted, you talk about surfing, you know, you quit when you were 14 or whatever. My wife was like all county, all state or something like that in high school volleyball. She's like a diehard volleyball head.
Wait, so where'd she go?
She's from New York. She was from Westchester.
Oh, okay.
She didn't play in college, but she was like invited to Nike Setters Camp, which is
a big deal. Yeah.
That's so funny that you were, we should have had her in here to talk volleyball. She would rather talk volleyball than surfing any day.
Yeah, well, like, I did all the junior national team. Like, I thought I was going to be pro, even though I'm, like, really short.
I was just about to say, for the listener, you are not tall.
Yeah.
But there is, like, that is a dynamic in volleyball that like, if you can get under the ball, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah, but, and then I, like, got hurt, but like we would, being at UCLA, we would, well, in the off season we had a shitload of practices at Will Rogers.
Oh yeah, because that's where all the volleyball nets are over there.
But also like the men's and women's volleyball team, like we would just never go to class and go to Manhattan Beach every day and play all day long. That's
we did. So awesome.
But it was so fucking fun.
Were you a UCLA beach volleyball or indoor volleyball?
No, they didn't have beach when I was there.
Right, that makes sense.
That started like, I don't know, like 4 or 3 years after I graduated.
Damn, dude. Let's go back. Let's redshirt and go back.
I know. Oh my God. Well, I quit after my sophomore year.
Great. So you have more eligibility left.
That's what my dad says to me all the time. Hilarious. My dad says that to me all the time. Or sometimes he'll just send me emails that are like, look, if you were four inches taller, you would have been an Olympian. I'm like, Dad, it's 10 years later.
Why? And why is that on his mind? That's so upsetting. You pussy.
I know. Is that hilarious?
And he'll that's brutal.
He'll be able to. No, he means it in a sweet way, which is even funnier.
Because it is like, your physical shortcomings are the reason you're not the most. Yeah.
And like, whenever I see him, he'll like recount stats like of games in high school, and I like don't have any recollection of anything.
So weird.
Yeah, it's so funny because my boyfriend's like that too. He has like this insane memory where of everything.
Me too, but it ends at movies.
Really? You know? I don't even remember yesterday. He was like, remember this time we had sex 7 years ago? And I'm like, no. Like, I don't even remember, like, our relationship.
He's
or
like, well,
you?
Or you hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Well, you were a monster to me during that session.
No, I'm going to have, like, I think I have, like, early onset dementia. Because, like, I mean, I think probably the Lord put me in comedy, so I have to memorize shit. Because I just don't remember anything.
Wait a minute. You know, you just said the Lord, and I just recently watched something of yours that you posted. It was a late night, maybe Carson. Were you doing Carson Daly Show?
Yeah.
I saw that. And you mentioned that you, in the set that they showed, you mentioned that you are back to being religious. Is this true? You believe in God again, is what you said? I have to know if that's real. I have no judgment either way. I'm just curious.
No, it's fully real. I started
what brought you back to
oh a breakup. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but like I was back and forth like my whole life, like culturally Catholic because of Italian, but then like, you know, I would be like really into God, and then I would be like, I am way too mischievous to be allowed.
But to, like, go to church into God, no, or no. Just like sort
oh, well,
of like
at certain points, like I was born again like a few times, like one time in college while still being like wild. I don't know. So anyway,
like born again, like some sort of ceremony, or in your mind you were born again.
Like I got real, and this was for a very short period of time, about 6 months. Like my friend gave me a promise ring.
Yeah.
After I. You know, like I was being like re-virginized or some shit. That came off quick. But
like, the ring didn't last. Yeah. The only ring I care about is the Nuva ring.
But during the time, like I was going to this like cool like college church, and like I for spring break, I went and Sam, I went on this hardcore missions trip. Where we went down, we sailed down the Amazon in Brazil, and like we had the boat had to hide because there were pirates, and like we would go to these villages that had like the only access was like by boat, and there was like a lot of like they like talk about like all these and like they wanted us to like evangelize, and I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. But
wait a minute, so you got briefly into religion enough to sail the Amazon?
Yeah, and I did
as part of this like hip church you were going to?
Yeah, in college for like one quarter. And oh my God. So after I quit volleyball, I was like, oh, I need to try everything I've ever wanted to do that I have not been able to do because volleyball has been the only thing I've gotten to do since fifth grade. And so when I quit volleyball, I joined the rugby team.
Oh shit. I played rugby for like 10 years. I still play once a year. Oh, we could have not talked about that.
But I really liked it. But I literally would have kept playing, except for that it was 5 days a week with like two weightlifting sessions for like an intramural team. And I had just quit like a varsity sport.
You just quit
sport.
An NCAA sport. Yeah, you're like, I don't want to play.
Yeah. And I was like, if this was once or twice a week, yeah, I liked it.
Some of the best players we got on our college team were guys who quit football for because it was too much work or because they drug tested.
Yeah, and hilarious.
They were like, I quit NCAA. We were like a D1 AA or AAA, not a big school for football, but these dudes would still go there, and then they would be like, what the fuck am I doing? I could do steroids and cocaine and go play fucking rugby. And these dudes would show up and be like absolute beasts who've been training NCAA sports, and now we're like a fucking club team made up of fat alcoholics.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they were so hardcore, and like it's so funny because I had never seen a rugby game or like anything, but like my whole life I wanted to play football because I was like really good at football. And then like the first couple of practices I just got fucking laid out, like full on tackled, and I was like, whoa.
That's I remember trying to find like clips or instructions for rugby after someone at the gym in college was like, you should come play rugby, and I was like, oh, because I went to school to row crew.
Oh yeah,
because I was a swimmer, and like, and I got like kind of recruited. My mom kind of like talked to the coach, and at my orientation I was like, I'm in. They were like, great. And like the first meeting was like, we practice at 5 a.m. every day, and I was like, and it was like, because the first meeting for crew was like a few days into school, and I had already partied very hard, and if I'm being fully honest, in my first week of school, made out with more girls than I made out with previous 18 years of my life. So I was like, wait a minute. No, I have to be at the bar every night kissing all these new girls. I was like, I've got to be kissing. Who knows what comes after that?
Yeah, hilarious. Oh my God. Crew is probably the most hellish. Like my cousin did it, and I was like, why would you do that? It's like, I can't imagine anything less fun or cool for college.
I know, it's even so weird because like as a swimmer I get like the boring sport, you know what I mean, like you get like black line fever, just, but I never swam distance, and also high school swimming is nothing like an NCAA sport where, you know, we're doing 2,000 yards a day rather than like 2,000-4,000 yard workouts. But like with crew, there's an element of people, and I think the kind of guys who are rowers and the gals who are rowers, and there's some other people who are like this, other sports, where part of the enjoyment of it is the fact that they can survive it.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like that weird lorded
Iron
over
Man-y shit.
Yeah, and it's kind of like I know like this is not the exact same thing, but a smaller parallel, a more digestible parallel would be like the pride I felt when I would be like, my mom would be like, so wait, where do you do laundry in your Brooklyn apartment? I'm like, laundromat's three blocks away. I walk and I carry it and I bring, and I have like all this pride about it. And then someone like would eventually be like, yeah, but like, what if you had a place where the laundry was closed? And I'm like, oh, I would love to have that. I would absolutely kill to have laundry in my unit. And then it's like, oh my God, I'm like, just, I'm excited to do that because I know it's hard and I want to lord it over people who don't have to do it. And that's a kind of like, there's like that weird attitude to those distance sports where it's like, I can get up at 5 a.m. and row the Hudson River every day.
Oh,
LARP. Yeah.
That's
so I switched to rugby and showed up to my first practice, not knowing anything about the sport either. I thought it was like kill the carrier, which is a sport we used to play.
Yeah.
A sport in quotes. It's like whoever has the ball, you tackle him. Yeah. And then he gives it up.
I know a worse name for that.
Oh yeah, we don't
my
say.
My brother said that. The
smear
other.
The blank. Smear yeah. the Q word.
He's like,
yeah.
Remember when we go to Ballpark Pizza and I was like, we don't say that anymore.
No, we can't. No, and we never should have.
Yeah,
that's not exactly what's happening in that game either.
Yeah, and then so it was and this was all in a 5-6 month period too. I just went wild. So,
oh, back to religion. Right.
Rugby, born again Christian. Writing on a school UCLA newspaper, joined a sorority where it was like spring rush, so they were only letting in 2 people, and they let me in. And then I went to Spain because I like whatever. I was like, I'm gonna do everything that I couldn't do.
So you did like studied abroad as well?
So I went to Barcelona like, you know, a couple months later after I had just joined, and I wrote them a letter. This is how that was read to the entire sorority. I wrote them a letter saying that I couldn't continue because of God and that I...
Holy shit. Blair, have you... At 31, have you found your identity yet? Comic.
No, I am. Yeah, I feel pretty settled. But I mean, hilarious. And someone I know, like, I know someone, or one of my friends who I like, Lo Bosworth, I mean, I guess people know her.
Yeah.
But one of my best friends is like friends with her and has a podcast with her, and she was there when like they
oh
read-
shit, she happened to be in the UCLA sorority. Oh my God.
When they read this letter. Just like, and I was like, I'm sorry, like, I just found the Lord.
Wasn't that the girl that was funneling Jack Daniels during Pledge Week? It's like, yeah, well, now she's in Spain and found God. The rugby chick, volleyball chick, the newspaper girl. Like, you have like...
Oh, God, I was just so excited because I was like, I mean, I loved volleyball, but I literally, there was no room for anything else, like, in your entire life.
Right, right. So then you... Weird, to hear something that we have in common is that... I've kind of tried literally everything throughout my life, like all the sports, all the kind of gatherings, like
yeah.
landed on like improv, rugby, marijuana, and like,
yeah.
and lifting weights. Like all these, I find these like subcultures get like really into them and then like they're just not maintainable for whatever reason, for moving or I get lazy or depressed or whatever.
Yeah.
But I love this idea. And now you're recently back into religion?
No, I'm not like religion at all. Like that's what my old age and life experience has taught me.
Is
and,
that
like,
not religion, but God? You believe in God, but not...
Well, now, yeah. I mean, like...
Well, now.
Like at the time, that was the thing. Like what I knew of religion, I was like, well, I'm all these other things that don't quite fit in.
Right.
And
right.
then that would be why I would like leave, because I was like, you know what I mean?
A lot of people don't know this, but Catholicism does not allow sorority girls.
Yeah.
You have to be a front row volleyball player to be a Catholic.
So I was just like, oh, you know, I can just like talk to God, just me and him and nothing else really.
Interesting. I yeah. really like that.
Yeah, it's funny. I was doing comedy is like the one thing where I started and I was like, oh, this was what I was meant to be doing forever.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah,
like
whether
only...
or not I'm actually good at it, that's how I feel about comedy. Whether or not I'm actually good at it, I don't really want to do anything else. I've never done that. As I'm doing this, I'm like, well, I'm going to give this as much of a try as possible because this is really fun and I'm, you know, 12 years in, it's time to not, it's not time to give up yet.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 5 years in.
Yeah.
And so it's not like I found it late, but I was just like, oh, thanks.
But 26 is not that, you know, mid 20s is not late, which is great.
It's
it's
late to compare to every single other person I know. But
right. It's true. Like those kids who are like, I took my first UCB class in my senior year of high school, you know, and like, what, dude, you knew what I didn't know any. I still don't know exactly what I want to do with my life. I just know it has to be in comedy at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't been, I had never seen a stand-up show till I was 25.
That's pretty wild.
In my life.
Oh, see, I grew up like inundated with comedy, like watching stand-up specials, watching comedy movies, like all that stuff growing up.
I didn't watch it at all. I had never watched any stand-up.
Because you're, it sounds like you're from like a sort of outdoorsy family. They're not.
Oh, extremely outdoors. Mm-hmm. Like no one's really into movies or like.
And if you live
anything.
If you live in San Clemente, you don't have to. Is that where you said you were from?
Yeah.
If you live there, you don't like. You don't need to be indoors all too often. Like it's, you know, your winters are not. Yeah.
Yeah, and my parents were really pushy about us being outside all the time, and so like I just didn't grow up. And then like people were always be like, yeah, like it's so like I don't. You don't have like influences. I'm like, yeah, I know. I don't know very
that,
much.
That might only God can influence me.
Yeah. It's funny. I was doing this past winter, like on stage, 15 minutes about God. That's what I was talking about. Like
that's
finding
wild.
God again. Yeah.
That's so interesting, though.
Yeah, it was
it's
fun.
It's weird to not have any influences, but it makes you, I guess, probably more pure. It's probably
maybe.
More. Maybe.
I don't
fingers
even,
crossed.
Like, ever get into that, like, analytical shit with comedy. I'm like, because, I don't know. It always changes, too. Like, I'm always, it's so changing all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's hard. It's, I'm a lifelong comedy fan. And
yeah.
Look, I'm in no different of a spot. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You'll find your influences. You'll be influenced now.
Yeah.
That's so fucking interesting. So have you, since finding comedy, have you gotten any other new weird, has like any other new activity, hobbies, self-identifying traits come out? Because normally after a few years into comedy, you start to realize that you need something else to keep you happy because comedy is so there's so many other gatekeepers that you
right.
like. That's how I got back into playing rugby in New York City was like after doing comedy for a few years, a friend of mine was like, I kind of feeling about playing rugby again. I'm like, dude, me too. It's like I want something that's not at all has to do with my career.
Yeah.
Because like once you're doing comedy as a hobby while you're working as a PA,
it's
which
so fun.
You're like,
yeah.
Oh, this is so fun. Then all of a sudden you're like, I'm going to go for it. And then it's like, it's still really fun, but it hurts too much.
It does. Yeah. It's so true.
It's no longer an escape as much as like a entrance.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that's what you were like saying before the podcast. It's like sad when that happens, but also it's just whatever. But now that I'm in comedy and it takes up, because obviously I'm pretty like extreme person.
Yeah,
like,
no, I put that together on my own.
Yeah, so like it,
so now it's like it soaks up all your time.
Well, yeah, and I'm a very low energy person. So the thought of like having another obligation or like gathering to me just is so overwhelming to me.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. I can buy that.
And like I really shy away from plant. Like people are really frustrated with me. Like I'm hard to pin down, like to hang out because like I like to be alone. Like when, cause I'm like, I have to be out doing shit every night. Like, you know what I
right,
mean?
Yeah.
Like
cause you're getting up all the time at night. Yeah.
Yeah. So, which I don't know, but I'll try to juggle it all.
Yeah. But I mean, there'll come a time I'm assuming you can see it with like, I mean, I think my friends in comedy are like probably 5 to 10 years older than you because they're like my age and older. And you find them
more successful.
Yeah. If they don't like, even if they get families, they also get like some weird new activity that they add to their lives where you're like, I'm actually really into beauty products or I'm like, I'm into this thing. And all of a sudden it's like, yeah, we make our own tea. Oh, yeah. I'm like run this charity golf tournament. Like people find these projects and it's that thing like and that's what High and Mighty was for me that we were talking about off air. It was like, this is something that has absolutely no gatekeeper. There's no like I'm not waiting to hear back if they want to put my episode of High and Mighty up.
Yeah.
It's all for me. And it's like, again, this is business adjacent. It's sort of, as any listener would guess, it's kind of like a comedy, my podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, this gives me such sanity. You know
I know.
I mean?
Yeah. Well, because it's fun and you enjoy it. Like,
it's like, I'm sorry, one more thing. It's like, as you get further into the business, you want bigger and bigger things that are harder and harder to get.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you miss out on like, just like the fun of you're like, oh, why would I go up and do this bullshit show that I loved doing 5 years ago?
I know.
But now it's not worth my time. So you need to add something and that's what rugby did for me in like 2010 or 2008 or 9, whenever I started playing again. I was like, oh, who cares that I'm not getting a meeting at CAA? Because on Saturday, I'm going to go fucking tackle some motherfuckers, or I can like, it's 2 hours a week where I'm only thinking about not getting tackled rather than thinking about like, how come I didn't get asked to do that college humor video? Yeah.
Yes. Well, I think I do. Now that you're saying that, I have a lot of things I like. I love cooking so much.
Okay. See, yeah, that's another, that's a great 30s activity to get involved in.
Also, like, I was so oppressed in New York in these fucking shitty ass apartments that with like Craigslist roommates, because I never wanted to live with comics. So I would just like stay in my room and like never go in the comedy, in the common space.
Right. Because also, like, you don't have that much common space in a New York apartment to begin with.
Yeah. It's so funny what you were just saying about the laundry, because that's what like LA is as a whole. When I got here, I was like, oh my God, this is so much better.
Which is
what everyone was saying, you know? And like, I love New York. There's nothing like it. And I couldn't have like learned comedy or anything without it. Yeah. Like,
agreed.
And my friends. But it's just like, whoa, I never wanted to be there in my 30s. I wanted to do that from my 20s.
Right. It's like, I can't imagine. I don't need to be out till 4 in the morning anymore.
No.
I don't need to order food at 3:30 in the morning anymore. I don't need to be doing that. You know, I don't need to be fucking finding out the F train's not running and transferring from the A to the
God.
G. Like, anyone who's like, but LA has now we're just venturing into the most common podcast territory of New York versus LA. But I want to say, in LA, people are like, oh, the traffic. I'm like, the traffic is the same thing as getting on the third L train.
It's so true.
It's like the exact same thing, except at least you can have air conditioning and your Spotify playlist.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah.
I also love TV. And like, I didn't grow up like watching TV. So now it's like this thing I'm like obsessed with. And like, I just love to watch TV. And I'm also always trying to write scripts that I have been unsuccessful doing when I was like a writer. That was like my thing. So I like, I don't know. I love, like, I can just watch hours of TV by myself without speaking to anyone.
Oh, and that's cool, because you didn't do TV growing up, really.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. I mean, I'm a huge TV and movie head. Like, that's all I did growing up, and that's all I care about now still.
Yeah, my boyfriend is so smart with movies, and he's seen a million things, and that's been his lifelong thing. So he knows, like, every director. He knows every actress, yeah. Like, all this stuff. And so he's always, like, I'm always like, what movie should I watch? Because I've seen, like, 4 movies. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. Like, a lot of things are backwards, like my life. You know what I mean?
I've only seen Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello movies. That's it.
I'm obsessed with those movies, by the way. Watch the shit out of them.
Me too.
Yeah.
What's the one with Humunga Cowabunga from Down Under? That's not Beach Blanket Bingo. It's the surfing one where it's all like green screen. They're like golfing off the surfboard.
There's so much green screen. That is hilarious.
I love the surfing green screen where they're just like, whoa.
Yes. Oh my God. Those are so good. I watched like all the Bruce Brown. Like, we'd always watch like the Rad. We watched like Step Into Liquid. We watched,
oh hell yeah, Riding Giants.
Gleaming the Cube
with Slater.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I believe called A Brother's Justice, original title,
because
he's like avenging the death of his Asian brother or something in that movie. Yeah, Big Wednesday was big as a surf movie when we were kids. The movie Airborne with the rollerblading.
Airborne.
Mitchell the Goose Goosen. Did he just call me a piece of lady's underwear?
Oh my God. Our friend, like one of our closest friends, her husband like used to be a professional rollerblader when he was young, and the pictures are hysterical.
I can only
imagine. Remember that time when it was like really big to be like good at rollerblading?
Do you remember the time when all we could talk about was Bauer 7 Barons grind plates? Like,
I couldn't do any of that.
I couldn't do any of that either. I was a skateboarder because my friends were, and I was terrible at it.
Yeah.
I didn't have the cardio like to be a skateboarder. Like, my friends would be like, let's go skate to Brands and McDonald's. And I'd be like, oh my God, I'd be like jogging after them holding my skateboard.
That's how I feel if I'm on a dance floor now. Yeah. I'm like, this is way too much cardio.
Yeah, my wife will be like, come on out. I'd be like, I just danced to 2 songs in a row. She's like, what? I'm like, I need 4 vodka sodas and a joint before I can come back out there.
That is so funny.
I'm like, you've tried to we've had sex before. You know my stamina. Yeah. Like, I can't do this shit.
That is so funny. That's like my boyfriend. He would dance for 2 hours and I'd be like, I did 2 songs. Yeah. Like, that is so much.
I'm like, I need to stretch my calves. Yeah. Because if you're like in dress shoes or whatever, like, this is such a, like, at a wedding, I'm like, I can dance for like 5 minutes, but then truly, like, my feet, ankles, and knees hurt unless I'm in like fucking high, like, performance wear.
I know people always think like women's shoes, and I'm like, no, those dude's shoes look hard as hell.
They're
too.
Not comfortable.
Yeah, like, they look really not comfortable.
You have to wear them forever for them to get comfortable, and then once you've worn in a pair of dress shoes, you really shouldn't be wearing them.
Right, they're too raggedy. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, that's the life. Blair, this has been a fucking wonderful chat, dude. This is really fun. You have an amazing laugh. I'm so happy to have heard it multiple times.
Thank you.
It was funny because the first time we met was that weird ass show I was doing in New York, and I was shooting a pilot and you were a guest on it. And I had never met you before. I had just heard good things about you. And I was like, oh, bring her in. We sat and we had to sit like right next to each other. And it was really weird. I'm like, well, this is how I'm meeting you. I'm sweating. I have no time. People are coming in and out. I'm like, hi, Blair. I'm like, I hope I get to hang out with you again at some point.
Oh my God. Just remembering that now wasn't my piece where like I had to talk about Wizard of Oz, where like the wicked, I had a 10.
Oh yeah, we were saying things that were surprisingly scary to us as kids.
And I had talked about a 10-year reoccurring nightmare of the Wicked Witch killing my entire family.
Yes,
and
yes, yes. This
and
is all.
It was like a 5-minute snippet of us meeting.
Yeah, it was like 5 of the 25 minutes we talked. And I'm like, I gotta talk to this lady again.
I was like, and then the witch murdered my entire family over and over for my entire childhood.
I was like, holy shit. Because I remember I showed you the clip from the movie Cat's Eye where the troll holds Drew Barrymore's nose closed, which
scary.
Is an image that fucked me up for life. I think gave me claustrophobia.
That makes sense.
I can't like have stuff on my face when I'm sleeping. Like, it bugs me out too much.
Oh my God. Hilarious.
So Blair Saki, where are you on social media?
Just my name, BlairSocci.
Okay, great. Yeah. And do you have anything else you want to plug?
A really fun weekly stand-up show. I'd love for you to do it sometime. Every Tuesday at Genghis Cohen.
Oh, shit. That's pretty close to where we are currently. Yeah. Now I'm giving too much information about where I live to these
reasonably
freaks.
You have no idea where we are, but it is close. You
oh,
could
shit.
Guess.
Dude, proximity is the thing that gets me to go to shows.
For sure.
I never really did club stand-up until I started getting invited to do the improv.
Yeah.
And only because I live close to it
right.
as well. I was like,
so nice.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's called the Blair and Greta Show. Every Tuesday, come on out. It's really fun. And then I will be, I think, having a podcast come soon.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Keep your eyes peeled. And I will, of course, promote that when it comes out or guest on it. And
yes.
Give you the juice of all these mouth-breathing fans of mine
oh,
to come
cool.
on. Oh, Blair, thank you so much for coming to High and Mighty Studios.
Thank you for having me.
As always, I'm at Gabrus on all social media, gabrus.com/shirts. Listen to my other podcasts. I don't have anything going on otherwise. Oh, I'll be in the new season of Drunk History. Actually, I'm not sure if it's this season. It's the next one. All right. Well, whatever. Fuck you guys. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.